You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
630 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.
McDavid, Drysdale, Nurse, and CeCe. The Edmonton 5 as Gaudreau walks in. Nurse, a great read on a pass intended for Dubé, broken up. Drysdale head for Puljujarvi. He's got McDavid. The empty net. McDavid, a backhand tuck, and it's in for a hat trick. Connor McDavid puts away an Oiler win in the Battle of Alberta. 5-2 Edmonton, and 3 goals for the Oiler captain.
Connor McDavid eats up the Flames again. Third career hat trick against Calgary. He has played the Flames 31 times. He has 26 goals. And the Oilers are 2-0 after a 5-2 win tonight at Rogers Place. Let's go right down to the Hall of Fame room. Here's head coach Dave Tippett.
Just going to ask that, Dave, did it seem more like the Battle of Alberta again with the fans, with the kind of intensity that you saw tonight?
Just way more emotion in the game. Emotion from the players, the fans, just the atmosphere in the building. It's a way better experience for everybody.
How would you describe maybe the last 5-6 minutes of that first period? It seemed like things got pretty hairy and hectic.
Just a good hockey game. I like emotion in the game, right? I don't think we have enough emotion in the game, so... A little emotion, a little hard, Saturday night, a couple rivals. It's what's not to like about that?
Your captain had another amazing game, your whole first line. What would you say about their performance tonight?
Calgary's a desperate team. They're coming in here. They're going to play desperate. They played really hard. They threw a lot of pucks at the net, made us defend, made us compete hard, and there was ebbs and flows in the game. We capitalized on a couple power plays, which kind of pushed the game along for us, but they didn't quit. They got it to 3-2. They were actually, in the second period, they were pushing pretty good. Hyman had a breakaway, and then all of a sudden comes back the other way. They get one, and so it's kind of ebbs and flows like that, but I thought after Jesse's goal, we really played well. We kind of locked it down, didn't get much after that, so... It was, it's a hard game. You got to give the other team some credit, but I thought our guys hung in there and we found a way to win.
As you kind of alluded to, Jesse's goal being very important for you guys. He scored in both games now. What have you kind of seen from him in the first two games? He just seems like a lot more confident.
Well, he just feels like he belongs. I mean, he feels like he belongs in the league. He feels like he could be a good player in the league. And, he's... Ever since the start of camp last year, he started building himself to be a good NHL player, and his confidence continues to grow, and his game continues to grow, and he's playing in a lot of situations, playing with those big guys, and he puts a lot of work in the game, and his skill set is really strong. I mean, he can shoot the puck well, and which you've seen tonight.
Dave, you didn't get Jesse on the ice much in the second period because of all the penalties, but he came back in the third period and scored the goal, obviously, and then set up Connor for the fifth one. Was there too many penalties to get some of the people on the ice?
Well, that's just the way it happens when there's... You got people, especially when we're not getting a lot of power plays. You know, it seems like we're killing. So you're taking the rhythm out, and you're always trying to, coming out of kills, you're always trying to find the rhythm of getting people going again. You know, and that's a challenge. But Jesse, for the most part, he stayed with Connor and Leon. And then on the power play, him and Hyman kind of switch up a little bit.
How did you see the play with Anderson and Yamamoto? Did you see a headbutt?
I'm sure the league will look at it. I looked at it. To me, it's a headbutt, but the league will look at it. That's what it is.
And Fogel's play, what did you think of?
Really strong. The line was really good. Fogel's been good in both games. Both games. Big, hard player to play against around the front of the net. Really roots around in there. And in a game like this tonight, he's a good player.
Thank you.
Dave, what did you make of the one-timer from Connor in that spot there that he's been working on?
You know, it's funny. As soon as it happened, I knew as soon as it went in,
The players are so happy for him. They're laughing. It just, you know, just because you guys have brought it up in the last week or whatever. So it's out there that we're looking for results now, and he got results. So it was a light moment, put it that way.
With Mike Smith, 30-some saves last game, another 40 here tonight. Has he been as steady a player as you've had so far?
Really steady. Tonight was, you know, like I say, just lots of pucks being thrown at the net from all over the place. I'll be interested to see what the scoring chances, actual scoring chances are in the game, but they threw a lot of pucks there. They just chip a lot of pucks there, and Schmitty was steady. He just hung in there and stopped the ones he needed to.
Jesse's hanging around the net a lot, causing a lot of commotion. You could tell it was already getting on Calgary's nerve. They were, you know, getting a little bit tired of it. Is this something that you guys have kind of urged him to do, or is it something that he's kind of discovered and comes naturally?
We've urged him to do it, but he's doing it willingly. That's a big man hanging around in front of there, you know. Like he's a hard guy to move, and he's got that big tripod going. He's a hard guy to move. So, I mean, he likes to go there. He knows that if he goes there, he can find some pucks around there and score some goals. And if you see him, when he scores a goal, he looks like the happiest guy in the world, right? And so why not go there more and score some more?
You've got this second and third wave now that you can throw over the boards that you never had in the past. Just what's the value of that, especially in a game like this where you kind of need that sort of depth?
I thought, you know, as the third period got going there, we got up by two, and then I went with the three lines, and we just, there was a flow and a rhythm to our game that everybody was on the same page, and that's nothing against the other line that wasn't playing much, but you just get into that rhythm. Like you say, we got three lines that are just going hard and playing a similar style, and it doesn't matter who the players are, and it, you know, you can do that, you can look like a pretty good team. Thanks, guys.
That is Oilers head coach Dave Tippett. Edmonton 5, Calgary 2 is the final tonight at Rogers Place. We're in the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown, Heartland Ford, overtime open line. Well, a lot of storylines in this one, Rob, but we will start with the two-time Hart Trophy winner, Connor McDavid, who continues to shine, especially against the Calgary Flames. He gets a power play goal in the first period. He gets a one-timer power play goal in the second period. Puljujärvi gets the puck to him for the empty netter to complete the hat trick in the third.
Well, the Calgary Flames were playing with fire by taking penalties and putting the Oilers' power play on the ice. The one thing that Connor McDavid said is he wanted to improve on his one-timer. He wanted to be more dangerous from outside, be able to score from distance. It's always funny when you hear, I'd be like Tiger Woods, yeah, I'm going to improve my swing after winning five or six majors in a row.
Well, which he did. He did overhaul it. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's scary when the best at what they do think they can get better. And every player tries to improve, but, I mean, you're improving on perfection when you're Connor McDavid, and he has. We've seen Sidney Crosby do it in the past. He decided he wanted to be a goal scorer, scores 50 goals. So when Connor said he's going to put a little more time and effort into scoring from distance, well, tonight he scores two goals from distance. And that just adds to an already potent power play. So he was excellent tonight. I think the Flames miss Mark Giordano when they're dealing with Connor McDavid. I don't know if they've got anyone on the back end now that can play him with the physical style and be a little nasty with him and still be able to skate with him. So Connor McDavid, we felt before the game, was going to have a big night, and he certainly did.
5-2, the Oilers win it. Jesse Puljujärvi scores again. He adds two assists, and the goal he scored, first of all, great passing play. I mean, about 4 seconds before he scored, the puck was in the left corner to Mike Smith, and Draisaitl gets it up to CeCe, who finds Puljujärvi. Rob, you can tell me if I'm making too much of this, but the Jesse Puljujärvi we saw in his first incarnation with the Oilers, and even a bit at the start of next year, and I'm not at the start of last season, and I'm not saying that he's perfect, but there were a lot of plays to be made where he almost looked nervous, or there'd be a little fumble of the puck. Good pass by CeCe, but it wasn't right in stride. Puljujärvi kind of had to knock it first, and I thought to myself last year he probably doesn't wrangle that.
He probably fumbles it.
And this year, not only does he wrangle it, bang, scores it.
He's confident. And it's funny. When you think confidence, you think, oh, you know, a grade 10 kid playing basketball for the first time or a novice kid out on the ice. Pro players get nervous, too. And pro players struggle with confidence. And Jesse Puljujärvi has in the past. But the more you play and the more success you have and the more comfortable you feel, the more confident you get. And confidence is what you saw when he scored that goal. He took it in stride, and he knew exactly where he wanted to put the puck. There was no second-guessing himself. There was no hesitation. And that's what you get when you feel good about yourself. You feel good about your game. And, yes, he does that. And, yes, he is not just a complimentary player on the first line. Let's, for example, last year, Kyler Yamamoto played a lot of the season with Leon and Connor. Kyler was, at best, a complimentary player. He struggled at times, but at best, a complimentary player. Jesse, at times, drives the shifts. There's lines where there's been shifts where he's been the best player on that line. That's saying a lot when you're playing with Connor and Leon. He creates opportunities for Connor and Leon. And when he gets the puck on his stick, you feel confident now that he's able to put it in the net. That was a big goal. Calgary Flames were pushing.
Yeah.
They made it 3-2, and that was the next shift. There's nothing worse, and you talked about it before, that when you are coming back, if you score a goal, you don't get to enjoy that as a team. You're on the bench, and all of a sudden, they haven't even announced your goal, and they've come down and scored against you. So big goal for Jesse Puljujärvi, who has been fantastic. And Bob and Jack talked about it at the end of the game. It's hard thinking about splitting those three up right now because as well as they're playing.
Yeah, Puljujärvi's goal was 26 seconds after Elias Lindholm brought the Flames within a goal. We got to congratulate Doug. We set the line before the game at 1.5 for goals by Connor McDavid tonight. Doug predicted over. He was indeed over, so Doug's getting a $100 gift card to River Cree Resort and Casino Excitement. Bet on it. You can also chime in at 780-496-0063. We'll get to your calls in a few minutes here. Mike Smith is 2-0 on the season, 45 saves tonight.
Well, two things about that. The first thing, that's too many shots. The Oilers, in both their games, I think there was close to 40 shots in game one.
Got up to 38.
38 and 47 tonight. Too many shots against. On the other side of it, Mike Smith has been excellent. The question marks about Mike Smith coming back in. Age is just a number, and he keeps saying that, and it certainly has shown that. He was fantastic. And to me, at times, was the best Oiler on the ice. Very good in this game. If the Oilers get goaltending like they're getting right now, then, yeah, the division title, the conference title is in play. Because offensively in their power play, they're going to score goals. And if Mike Smith can do what he's done in the first two games, and the Oilers should get better defensively because they're going to make adjustments because they're giving up too many great scoring chances against. But Mike Smith, through two games, has been the all-world Mike Smith that we saw last year.
So a 5-2 Oilers win, that means $500 donated to Santa's Anonymous, courtesy James H. Brown and Associates. Unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitment, unrivaled results. They're giving $100 for every Oilers goal throughout the season to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous. So the total for the year already up to $700. Okay, let's go back down to the Hall of Fame room. The hat trick tonight, the captain, Connor McDavid.
So, Connor, Leon felt that puck was still a little bit fluffy coming off your stick there. Just your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it rolled a little bit, but it was a nice pass from Doc and just try to get good wood on it.
Something that you were working on, I guess. Have you scored a goal? Is a one-timer from that spot something that you can remember doing before, or is that?
I've probably never scored a goal from there and like that. Just like a straight one-timer like that. But I definitely worked at it, and it was a nice pass from Doc, and just tried to get it there.
Mike Smith, back-to-back games where he's 30-some saves last game, 40 tonight. How much has that meant through two games?
Yeah, he's been amazing. I mean, he's obviously, you know, he's come back and he's picked up right where he left off. You know, he's an ageless wonder, so he was unbelievable again tonight.
Warren, I wonder how what you make of your first experience in the Battle of Alberta, playing in the Canadian market, the crowd going wild, the intensity as high as it was.
Yeah, I love it. You can see outside here. This is crazy. This is passion, and you know, it's pretty exciting to be out there and, you know, play in front of loud fans, and it was a lot of fun.
I guess, you know, going into the game tonight, there were a lot of the guys earlier this morning talking about how, I guess, the temperature of the Battle of Alberta maybe had dropped a little bit with no fans and all that. Did you kind of sense, you know, later in the first period especially, that it had ratcheted back up a little?
Yeah, you kind of felt like that's what was going to happen. You know, playing these guys 10 times last year with no fans, you know, it got a little stale. But, you know, the passion back in the building, the fans, you know, being as excited as they were, you're going to see that echo back up. And I thought our boys did a good job responding, and obviously a good win for us.
Did either of you see that play with Anderson and Yamamoto? Did you see a headbutt there, maybe?
I didn't really see it.
Warren, your line with Cassian and Ryan, you got the boys on the board first. Is that exactly the way you wanted to see this game go, your line?
Yeah, for sure. I thought we played north and played hard, and you know, just trying to create energy for the team. And you know, I thought we had a good game.
Connor, we're two games into the season, and there's like 300 people gathered out there screaming and yelling for MVPs and Stanley Cups and things like that. I guess what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Oiler fans are some passionate fans around, and we definitely miss them a lot. And they're excited to be back. We're excited to have them back, and for them to be showing, you know, some emotion like that, it's exciting for us. You know, we're just, you know, continue to work hard each and every day and try to make them proud.
This team's clearly deeper than it's been. What are your thoughts on, you know, now that you've watched the lines roll out for a couple games here, you know, as Dave Tippett would say, sort of the rhythm of the lines as they come over the boards, different guys, different roles. What are your thoughts on how it's fit together here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the addition of Rhino and Fogues has really helped a lot. You know, that whole line has been so good for us, obviously chipping in with a huge goal tonight and just building momentum for us throughout the night. And, you know, even that fourth line, they're solid for us. So I've liked how it's gone. I haven't liked how, you know, kind of penalties have thrown us out of rhythm. But, you know, when we get a chance to roll them over, it gets pretty good.
All right, that is Connor McDavid and Warren Fogle, one of the new guys who had a pretty good game tonight on the Oilers' third line, got an assist on the opening goal of the game from Derek Ryan. The Oilers win 5-2, five goals, baby. You know what that means. The Japanese Village goal light is on 630ched.com. You can print up a coupon for a free appetizer to Japanese Village. Try the legendary Wagyu steak cooked before your eyes. Reserve now at jvedmonton.ca. iMac texts in. He says, what do you think the suspension for Rasmus Anderson will be? iMac thinks it should be 3 games for the headbutt, never mind punching Yamo 3 times after the linesman was in.
Yeah, probably a game. I honestly don't know what. I don't have any reference to what other guys have gotten for what he did, but to me, it was deliberate. It was a one-game suspension, but there should have been more of a penalty on the play. A, there was a headbutt, and B, he dropped his gloves and threw 5 punches. To me, that's a fight. So I think that the referees missed that, but hopefully, and I'm sure the league will look at it, and I would expect there will be at least a 1-game suspension.
All right, well, I'm surprised that this gentleman took so long to call me. As we go to the hotline for CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems, CertainTeed, pro all the way. Adam called, I can't remember if it was after Game 3 or Game 4 of the Oilers series against the Jets, and he said it would have been late. If it was after Game 4, it was definitely after midnight. But Adam said Duncan Keith is going to come to the Oilers this summer. Somehow it's going to happen. And Adam, you called it. And I don't know what your connection is to Duncan Keith, if you're a relative or whatever, but you called it, so congratulations. I'm just surprised you didn't call me in the summer on my show when he got traded here.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah. Okay. I played with Duncan in Penticton. I played with him and Kobasu in 1999, and we just became good friends all throughout his minor league career. And then I went off to Tulsa, and then I just ended my career, you know, in the minors. And then we just became good friends, right? Because he's a good guy. And we stayed in touch. And then, you know, I used to go down there during the cup runs in 2010, 13, and 15. And, yeah, he's just a great guy.
Awesome. Well, thanks for giving us the tip along the way. Appreciate you calling, Adam. We'll talk to you again, all right?
Yeah, you bet, buddy.
That is Adam, 780-496-0063. Yeah, that was, he just kind of was out of the blue for us. And, I mean, we get asked about a lot of players. Could they come here? Could they get traded here? And we're like, well, okay, we'll see, I guess. So Adam absolutely called that. That was pretty cool. You can get us at 780-496-0063. You're going to hear from Draisaitl and Puljujärvi. They both had 3 points.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Tonight, the Oilers are 2-0 as they beat the Flames 5-2. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on 630 CHED.
Nikita Zadorov able to cut Cassian off. Stick handle his way over with a feed to Tkachuk. Now the on-rushing backup to Tkachuk left wing. Loads and fire. Shot tipped, juggled, and held by Mike Smith.
Mike Smith, excellent game, 45 saves. That's the save of the game for Reface Magic. Transform your kitchen with ease. See the magic at refacemagic.ca. I see the magic whenever I work with Rob Brown. I just got to look next to me, and there he is. John texting in, and I don't think we've seen this replay, Rob. John says there's a replay on TV that showed that Anderson's glove was in front of his head, so it wasn't a headbutt. So we'll see. I mean, I'm sure they'll look at it if there's something to it.
Well, I saw that they were showing that on Hockey Night in Canada. I mean, it's still a headbutt if you headbutt the guy, even if your hand is partially covering the guy's face. It was an intent with head. But the NHL will take a look at it, and as usual, probably get it wrong.
Oh, wow. Nice early season cynicism, Rob Brown.
I've had many years of watching.
Just throwing the Department of Player Safety under the bus.
Well, I'm still mad from the year they suspended Andrew Cogliani. I didn't realize he's on a new team this year. He wasn't with San Jose last year, was he?
No, he was Dallas, right? Because he was Anaheim, Dallas. Yep.
I saw he scored a goal tonight for the San Jose Sharks, shorthanded.
Brad says, now I should tell you, Brad, before I read your text here, Rob is not huge on the shot differential stats and the Corsis, right?
No, I think Corsis are dumb.
So Brad says, how come Nurse and Barry were outshot 22-10? It seems they flubbed a lot of passes and couldn't break out of their zone over and over. Aren't they supposed to be good puck movers?
Well, the Oilers were outshot tonight. The Calgary Flames at times 5-on-5 were the better team. At the end of the night, the Oilers won because their stars were better than the Flames stars. Their power play was better than the Flames power play. And their goaltender was much better than the Calgary Flames goaltending. There's going to be nights where the Edmonton Oilers are hemmed in their own zone. I will not say anything untoward Darnell Nurse. He is by far the Edmonton Oilers' best defenseman. And it's not even close.
Darnell Nurse tonight, 27-47, ice time, 2 shots on goal, 8 hits, 1 blocked shot, 1 giveaway, 1 assist plus 1 is his stat line for Darnell Nurse. Okay, we'll go to Tony on the Certainty Hotline, 780-496-0063. Hello, Tony, go ahead.
Good to have hockey back. Good to hear you guys. There's a few comments. I've been listening and hearing a lot of people saying and kind of bashing Yamamoto because, you know, he's still snake bitten. You know, he's than kind of just not himself. And if, when I watch him play, he may not be, you know, scoring or whatever, but he's still working hard along the boards. He's still doing all the dirty stuff that I'm going to give a good example that Johnny Gaudreau won't do. That I think it's just a matter of time before he does score and gets that monkey off his back, because he's still working hard. He is not getting that luck that he deserves.
The only problem is he's a top six forward, and last year he played almost exclusively with Connor and Leon. And I don't know what it was, one goal in his last 30-some games, and he hasn't lit the lamp. Obviously, it's only two games in. He's eventually going to have to start scoring, or he's not going to be in your top six. And I like Yamamoto, and you're right, he does a lot of the little things, but as a top six player, you have to produce offensively as well.
I also want your guys' opinion on Ryan McLeod tonight.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, Tony. Thanks for calling. And Coach Mike texted in this along the same lines. I don't like Tippett playing the fourth line 5 minutes a night so far. Will the fourth line play more once Shore is healthy? I would think so, and Shore will kill penalties. But yeah, tonight, Turris played 5:03. Perlini played 6:22. McLeod played 5:23. And even defensively, well, Cuckoo got up to 9:17. I mean, with Nurse on the left side, again, your opportunities are limited. I mean, we'll nitpick a little bit since it was brought up. Ultimately, you'd like a little more action from the fourth line.
Yes, I agree. But the problem for the Oilers is with their fourth line is there's too many penalties. And Perlini doesn't kill penalties, Turris doesn't kill penalties, and neither does McLeod. So they don't play in the power play or the penalty kill. And when you get out of rhythm and you go through long stretches where it's power play, penalty kill, and your fourth line, because of that, doesn't play 8, 10, 12 minutes, it's hard throwing them out there for one shift. So in a game where there's the specialty teams aren't as prevalent, they will play more. Also, with the fact that the Oilers have got a fairly good schedule thus far, they can overplay certain players. But Dave Tippett talked about it. He said because of power plays and penalty, there was a lot of players that weren't playing, and then they started getting to a rhythm with three lines, and he continued with those three lines. When Devin Shore gets back, he has more trust in Devin than he does in Ryan McLeod, which will allow him to start them in their own zone. I think there's a little bit of fear starting them in their own zone for a face-off if Ryan McLeod's a centerman.
Yeah, that'll be our adjustment of the game for Pro Drain Techs for peace of mind down the line. 5-2 Oilers win tonight. We'll go back to the CertainTeed hotline. Robert is standing by. Good evening, Robert. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Quite well.
Well, I want to make a couple points. I guess first off, I want to touch a little bit on that headbutt there by Anderson. Personally, in my opinion, I think that's worth at least two games. He'll probably only get one, if that. I do agree with Rob. The player safety will probably screw it up. But anyway, that's not the point. My other point is tonight, I thought, again, that third line with Fogle and Cassian on it. I mean, I know Cassian wasn't there last game because he was hurt, but I thought that third line was really good tonight. And I also thought that, Yamamoto, he did some good things too. I'm not sure what you guys are thinking about that. And Smith, again, was lights out. Only two games. But I think we'll be just fine when it comes to goaltending and I have one last one here on that power play goal, that one timer by Connor McDavid there. Looked like he'd been doing it for years.
Yeah, it was a great shot, absolutely. And like Rob said, just working on other ways to expand his game. Yeah, Yamamoto, second caller to bring him up a bit. You don't doubt his effort.
Nope.
I mean, look, as a smaller gentleman myself, I guess I kind of got a soft spot for the little guys who can go out there and succeed. I mean, Derek Ryan's not a big guy. I mean, Chris Russell's not a big guy when he's in the lineup. So you can't have a pretty long NHL career. But I understand, sometimes it's just physics. This guy weighs this much. This guy weighs this much. It doesn't matter how hard the smaller guy is trying. he might not win that battle. I mean, I think Yamamoto gets him. The one thing I'll say about Yamamoto is he took a couple penalties tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He had 13 minor penalties last year, did play every game. You know, Benoit Pouliot got roasted some nights for his, you know, ozone penalties and stuff. And sometimes there's a little bit there from Yamo, too, where he winds up taking penalties. Yes, he's digging hard, but he winds up committing a foul in the process.
Yeah, no, you can't take penalties like he's taken. Both of them were stick infractions. One got into the feet, one got into the hand at inopportune times. But I don't question his work ethic at all. And actually his battles, he doesn't lose a lot of battles. What you need, though, when you're – he's here because of what he can do offensively. That's why he was drafted in the first round. That's why he's playing in the top six. And the production hasn't been there. He had the great run when he got called up a couple of years ago when they put him together with RNH and Leon. And, you know, was part of the reason that the Oilers' season turned around that year. But it wasn't there last year. The offense wasn't what it needed to be. He's playing top 6 minutes. And this year he's either going to play with RNH and Hyman, or when they split up the two centermans, the two greats, he's going to be playing with Leon. And when you play with Leon, you got to produce. And last year he didn't. He was snake-bitten at times. But he will be judged on putting the puck in the net. If you're a top six player, you have to do it. The Oilers really like the way they have their line set up right now. They love the Derek Ryan third line, what they can do. Their fourth line they've been happy with. But for that to work, they got to get production out of the right side. Puljujarvi's doing that on his line. Yamamoto has to do it on his if he wants to stay in a top six position. I would imagine it'd be 10, 15 games before they make any kind of decisions on it. But in those 10, 15, he eventually has to put the puck in the
net. If you're winning, it's always less likely to make a change.
No, but this is something that they got to watch, because over the course of the season, then they got to make decisions. Okay, is this, as going into the playoff? Now we're game two, but going into the playoffs, is this enough out of this player, out of this position, for us to move on past the first round? So that's something they're going to watch. But yeah, the work's there, the try is there. Right now, they just need the production.
Eagles Larry writes in, I can never remember with Eagles Larry if he cheers for the Philadelphia Eagles or he has Eagles as pets in his backyard. I can't remember. Eagles Larry says, I'm very impressed with the game Duncan Keith plays. He quietly makes solid plays. He must have knocked down half a dozen dump-in plays, killing the forecheck before it even starts. That is a note there from Eagles Larry. Thanks a lot for tuning in, buddy. Hope the Eagles are doing well. 780-496-0063. We have Edgar on the line. Oilers win 5-2 over Calgary. Hey, Edgar, go ahead, sir.
Well, it's good to be back and hear you guys again. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. Earlier in the program, you had some guys on the refs a little bit about missing this or missing that. It's a hard job, and, you know, I wouldn't want to have it. I'm glad to see McDavid got a holding call, because he was. But on the other hand, we all know how many times he gets clutched and grabbed. What I really called in for was, where do you draw the lines? At about 10 minutes in to the second period, the linesman grabs Tkachuk and prevents him from doing some sort of atrocity or another to an Oilers player. Now, a lot of people are on them for trying to sway the game one way or another. And I tell you what, where do you draw the line when a linesman interferes with a player before he does something inadvertent to another player on another team? Now we don't get the power play. Where do you draw the line when the linesmen are doing that? And
they're going to do that all the time.
Thanks, Edgar.
That's their job. They're going to do that to make sure that their first job is to make sure that someone doesn't do anything stupid and protect the other player. And they would do that. They would grab Cassian. The linesman will look at the player they think is going to do something the silliest and will grab him first. So at all times, they know who is on the ice, and they know who to go after first to make sure a game doesn't get out of hand. So, yeah, I would expect the linesman to do that. And on most nights, the referees and the linesman do a very good job.
Yeah, and I think tonight's game, were probably a couple calls, you know, and we have the luxury of replay and seeing it from up high. I mean, I didn't think Luch committed a trip.
Nope,
quite
that was,
frankly,
that was a bad call.
And you mentioned it too. Could have Anderson got more? You know, Cassian took a guy's stick away. Usually, that's holding your interference or something.
Pulled it,
you could definitely debate. But watching the game live, this wouldn't. And I don't know if Edgar was at the game or not, or how often he comes to games, but watching it live from where we are, it's amazing how often the linesman almost has to help orchestrate the line changes, especially in the second period, because there's so much crisscrossing, and maybe guys were just battling in the corner, and now, well, they're not fighting, but they're a little bit of jostling or elbows to the chest as they're going to the bench, and how often they got to separate them, pull one guy to one door, throw the other guy in the other door.
Game management is what it is, and it's the way it's supposed to be done, and it's absolutely amazing when you sit and watch the way that a linesman calls a game. Very rarely do they get a play wrong. And if they do get an offside wrong, it's only after they've watched 19 different replays to see that someone was a half a millimeter off. So, the linesmen are supposed to protect players and supposed to try to keep the game flow going in the proper direction. So, when Tkachuk's on the ice, usually he's the first guy they grab. When Cassian's on the ice, he'd be the first guy they'd grab.
Boy, Tkachuk went and gave Derek Ryan a shot right at the final buzzer. Did you see that?
Actually, because it was right down here. I was actually leaning back.
Over there.
Yeah. I saw that everyone kind of congregated there, and at that point I guessed it was Tkachuk that did it. He had his opportunities all night long to go after Ryan if he wanted to. That's what I always boggles my mind when someone does that after the whistle. Well, you had 60 minutes. If you wanted to do something, do it then. Don't make a difference after the game, because guess what? It doesn't make a difference in the hockey game.
Derek Ryan opened the scoring tonight. Fogle and Cassian got the assist. Derek Ryan, the former U of A Golden Bear, a Calgary Flame for the last 3 years. His first goal as an Oiler, you could tell he was overjoyed. Big reaction from him. Almost seemed like he took a moment to look up into the crowd and soak it in and grab the puck as well.
Well, yeah, it is a big moment. Playing at the U of A and being in part of the Battle of Alberta and coming from Calgary and then playing here, given this role here in Edmonton, he's a veteran guy, and they went out and got him for a purpose. They wanted a third-line center. They could win faceoffs on the right side, play on the penalty kill, be a thorn in the other team's top players, and play a heavy, in-your-face style of game. And that's the kind of goal he scored. He was standing in the blue paint. And it's funny, you were talking about guys that are smaller in stature, how they can have long careers and be successful. On the goal that Ryan had, I'm pretty sure he was standing by Zadorov, who from up here looks like he's about 6'12". Like, he is a big man, but that's who he's in front of the net with, and Ryan's the one that gets the puck on his stick and puts it in the net. He understands what his role is. He played it to perfection. He was very good through the entire exhibition season, and so far through two games has been excellent. It's been a good addition, Derek Ryan, to the Oilers.
Well, what a treat this is. For the first time this season, JP is on the CertainTeed hotline. Hello, JP. Go ahead, sir.
I'll tell you right now, there's no certainty that I keep things together. I've been on a few drinks tonight, you guys. But let's first off, hello, how are you guys? Are you Reed, Rob? It's been too long. I haven't talked to you guys for a few months. At this point, how are you guys tonight?
We're doing well. We're doing well.
Beautiful. I just want to talk about JP. He went out tonight with a game plan. JP went out tonight with motivation, with a lot of passion behind his game plan. JP did everything he set out to do. He accomplished everything to a T. But enough about me. Let's talk about Jesse Pellegrini for a second, you guys. This guy's a stud. This guy is a stud. I love him. I love the passion. I love the passion. I love everything he brings to this city. And at the end of the day, you guys, the Oilers are 2-0. I'm calling it right now. This team might roll. They might roll 10 straight to start the season. But I just wanted to phone in and say hello to Yuri. Hello to you all. And I want to say to all the Oilers fans, let's have a fun season ahead. Can't wait. Let's pour a drink tonight, everyone. and enjoy the evening. Love, I need your autograph.
Thank you. Yeah, we're still working on that.
Anytime. Now it gets harder now because we don't do our post game from downstairs. We're up here. I'm not sure he can get up here.
No, I'm pretty sure JP's not
here. There's a lot of security guards who would be out there holding him back. And they don't serve booze up here, so I'm not sure he'd want to be up here anyways.
They haven't shown you where the... Oh, forget it. Oilers win 5-2. He brought up Puljujärvi again, who we talked about earlier, but, mm-hmm. you know, three assists. He's around the net. I'm okay. I'm going to ask you this question.
Yep.
Because he got called for goalie interference on Markstrom, and then four Flames went after him, and he seemed almost surprised. And do you remember last year there was a play in Vancouver, a guy punched him? Because I think he inadvertently kind of jostled somebody, maybe even gave him a, knocked his head, and then he got, and he seemed shocked. Does he have to, I'm not saying he has to learn how to fight, but does he have to be aware if he's going to be in front of the net and digging down low, does he have to be aware, okay, there might be a scrum. Like, I got to at least protect myself here, even if I'm not going to do something to a guy.
Well, I think the look that he has, I think he's one of those guys that he wants everybody to like him. So why are you hitting me? Because I'm a nice person. Look at the big smile I got. But he's going to attract that kind of attention, ill attention from the opposition because he's a big body. I don't think he still understands his strength that he has. He's a big man that in front of the net. He gave a little whack to Markstrom, and they took exception to it. But he's going to, at all to end, he's on a line with right now the two superstars, so they're going to go after him. Like, they know if they go after Connor or Leon, there's going to be 20 guys coming over the boards to get him. So he does a good enough job. I'm not worried about Jesse Puljujärvi. He's never going to have to fight, and he is big and strong enough that if anyone ever did come after him, he'll be able to hold his own, whether it's just holding the guy in a bear hug and not letting him do anything. But to me, it's just one of those where he plays the game with such passion and fun that when somebody comes at him with a little bit of anger in them, he's like, hey, whoa, 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 I'm not going to be angry to you. Why are you being angry to me? So he's a kid playing a man's game, but he's playing it in a man's body.
He was the second star tonight. Andrew Mangiapane from the Flames was the third star. No doubt about the first star with the hat trick tonight. His 10th regular season hat trick, three of them have been against the Flames, is Connor McDavid. 26 goals now in 31 career games against Calgary. Edmonton wins it 5-2. Okay, Darcy, Kevin, and...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan, our next up in the batting order on the CertainTeed Hotline. We got to take a quick timeout. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Fogle turns, fires, score! On the rebound, Derek Ryan against his former team. Able to bury it. Fogle the helper. Oilers 1, Flames nothing. There is the Derek Ryan goal. Got us started tonight. Connor McDavid scores 3. Jesse Puljujärvi scores. Mangiapane and Lindholm for Calgary. 5-2, Edmonton wins it. The shots 47-33 in favor of the Flames. Mike Smith is 2-0. He makes 45 stops tonight. Along with Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. We're in the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. 2 minutes before midnight, I will update the scoreboard courtesy Edmonton Trailer. Looking for parts, service, rentals, or new and used semi-trailers, head to edmontontrailer.com. The Oil Kings will play Red Deer here Sunday at 4 p.m. Oil Kings won 4-0 last night over Lethbridge. In the NHL, Sabres beat the Coyotes 2-1 in a shootout. Panthers ring up the Islanders 5-1. Maple Leafs knock off the Senators 3-1. The Rangers beat Montreal 0-3. The 3-1, I should say. The Canadiens are 0-3. Boston winning 3-1 against Dallas. The Red Wings winning 3-1 over the Canucks. Penguins beat the Blackhawks 5-2. In overtime, it's Lightning 2, Capitals 1. In overtime, it's Columbus 2, Seattle 1. Hurricanes beat the Predators 3-2. Blues knock off the Avs 5-3. Sharks win at home 4-3 against the Jets. The Jets are 0-2. and it is Minnesota winning in Los Angeles 3-2, the final there. Baseball playoffs, Boston 9-5 over Houston. That series is 1-1. Atlanta wins game one of the NLCS 3-2 over the Dodgers. CFL tonight, Calgary pounds BC 39-10. Calgary got one offensive touchdown, one defensive touchdown, one special teams touchdown, and six field goals.
Well, they spread it around.
And,
they're coming on.
They are.
Their quarterback got healthy, and he is a good quarterback.
And Montreal beat Ottawa 27-16. Okay, 780-496-0063. We have Darcy on the line. Hey, Darcy, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, just wanted to touch on Hyman and Keith. Do you think that Hyman is mentoring Yamamoto into being more of a player like he is? Same with Keith, like the mentoring going on with Bouchard and Nurse and CeCe. Do you think he's working with these guys and helping to prep them for you know, helping to develop their skills?
You always ask about that, veterans coming in and mentoring or teaching. It doesn't really happen that way. What it does is just little things here and there on the bench. Just especially when you're in line mate. So Yamamoto right now is playing with Hyman. So you talk on the bench. But a lot of it is just the player, the younger player watching and learning and asking questions. That happens more so than Duncan Keith saying, okay, Bouchard, come here. Here's what I'm going to teach you today. It doesn't really happen that way. It'll be Bouchard. It'll be watching Keith in practice and say, hey, I watched last game. You did this. Why? That's more of what happens. From what – and now I'm not around – the practices, and I'm not around the dressing room a lot, but for everything I've heard about Keith, his work ethic is exceptional. Same as Hyman, great work ethic. And then in the games, they play with an edge, and they don't take shifts off. There's a reason that Duncan Keith's going to be going to the Hall of Fame because of what he's done on the ice year after year after year. There's a reason that Hyman got the big contract here in Edmonton. What they wanted is what they've seen in these games every night. Hyman doesn't take a shift off, ever. That's where the players will learn. That's where Yamamoto will watch Hyman. Okay, here's how he conducts himself in practice. Here's what he does on the ice. So that's the kind of mentoring they'll get from the young players watching and learning that way.
Appreciate it, Darcy. Oilers win 5-2. Yeah, Hyman is, he's fun to watch. His motor's always going. We talked about it, how he plays all situations. So he plays 1941. He played 301 on the power play and 214 shorthanded. Oh, and he took four faceoffs and won three of them.
Yeah, a jack of all trades and pretty good at all the trades. He makes his line mates better. He drags them along with him. He's a consummate professional that, again, never takes a shift off and wins all the battles. That's the best thing, the best thing about him, and that's the thing that, as a young player, you watch. It doesn't matter if it's a battle at center ice for a 50-50 puck or in his own. Everywhere he does it, and he does the right things. He doesn't cheat, and that's one of the reasons the Edmonton Oilers wanted a player like that on their team.
Just some other face-off stats here. Derek Ryan, 10 out of 15. Draisaitl, 14 out of 21. Tough night for Nugent Hopkins, 2 out of 12. And McDavid went 4 out of 9. A few other guys took two or three face-offs along the way. Oilers wound up at 51% in the face-off circle. They were actually only at 42% after two periods, so they won a lot in the third.
What did Lindholm end up with Calgary?
Lindholm wound up, he took 25 faceoffs. He won 14. He was 11 out of 16 after two periods.
Yeah, he slowed down the third. They probably put Leon against him a little bit more. Yeah.
780-496-0063. Kevin, good morning, Kevin. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning. First of all, I want to say Jack Michaels is the best in the business, correct?
He's outstanding.
Outstanding, yeah. And you guys were making my point for me. You didn't get to see After Hours tonight with Hyman. Just getting to know him on After Hours, he's maybe my third favorite player now. Such a genuine guy. Do you think he's as beneficial off the ice as he is on the ice, just all around? Like, you already talked about it, kind of.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
He's inspirational, right?
Absolutely, right. He is. That's the type of player they want in their dressing room.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And it's like, to see him tonight on After Hours, he's a genuine guy, family guy. And he loves being in Edmonton, which is rare for a lot of these, like, big free agents, right?
No, yeah, yeah. Right. He emphasized that in the summer. I had him on Inside Sports on Tuesday, the night before the season opener. First time I'd interviewed him one-on-one. Obviously, we weren't in person. But very, very intelligent, very well-spoken. And, I mean, he's said it a few times that once he realized he wasn't going to Toronto, he wanted to play in Edmonton, and he had to get his, you know, his wife had never been here, but he wanted her to see.
That's right. They talked about that as well,
Yeah, and he's talked about, in the interview I asked him about, because he's written the three children's books. And
right,
I kind of said,
they talked about that as well, crazy.
So I said, when's the fourth coming? I don't mean to put pressure on you. And he said, well, I get more pressure from the publisher. He was kind of joking, but he said, my wife wants me to write one for baby Theo, who I think is 10 months.
Right,
but he said, we probably want to have, I think he said, five kids total or something like that. So he said, then I'd have to write one for each kid. So I think he's one of those, he knows what
cool
he wants out of life.
Like that and, on our team, right? Like the, you know, a book writing guy, smart and...
Yeah, no, there was, when you look for a player to bring into your organization, especially someone long-term, paying big money, you're not just bringing the on-ice product type of player. You want the whole package. You want a guy that's good on the bench, good in the dressing room.
Right, the attitude to wanting to be here and all that,
You want a leader, and that is what you got with Zach Hyman. And
We got a steal with this guy, for
the
sure.
The Toronto Maple Leafs, are not as good a team because they lost Hyman. They're still going to be a great team. They could be a playoff. They could do all these things. But they're not as good a team without Zach Hyman because he's that big a player.
That's great to hear. As an Oilers fan, here we go, boys. Good night. Thanks for talking to me.
Yep. Thanks, Kevin. We appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, two games in, but I think the new players, as advertised, Ryan, Fogle, Hyman,
Keith and CeCe. I mean,
Keith and CeCe, I thought, CeCe's had a really good game, especially.
Yeah, and a part of his game that I didn't know he had was the offensive prowess to find guys streaking. I mean, he found Yamamoto for a breakaway in the preseason. And the things that he's doing, too, he reads the play well. Tonight, Draisaitl has the puck, and for us, it's the far side in the corner. CeCe's almost at the red line. Like, he's a defensive defenseman who's gone all the way to the red line to receive the pass, cross-ice 75-foot pass from Leon Draisaitl, and then knows as soon as he gets it, he's got Puljujärvi going through the middle and makes a perfect pass. Puljujärvi has to take that perfectly on his stick to be able to keep the distance between him and the defender chasing him to allow himself to shoot the puck unimpeded. And CeCe made that perfect pass. He did it in the preseason on a pass, I believe, from Hyman, where he found Yamamoto on a breakaway. So that's a part of the game I didn't know he had, but a huge part when you're playing on a team with very good offensive players. So CeCe's been excellent in the two games that he's played in the regular season.
Okay, and we will also welcome Ryan to the show. Hey, Ryan, thanks for staying up and thanks for listening. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, no worries. So I think we can all agree that Mike Smith has been absolutely amazing for us for the first two games, but it's a little cause of concern because 45 saves tonight and 31 against the Canucks, or 36, sorry. But do you think that Smith and or Koskinen can hold up with this decor if we're giving up that many shots a game?
Well, it's a good point. I think that, and we talked about it after game one, that Dave Tippett would be excited about the 2 points, but there's parts of the game that they knew they had to get better at. And I think, again, tonight, there were some great parts of the game tonight. Their power play was awesome. Their first line was good. They started rolling three lines, but again, too many shots against and too many grade A scoring chances against. Now, it's early in the season. They're still trying to find their way, but yes, you're not going to be a playoff team going 2, 3, 4 rounds if you're giving up 45, 47 shots a night. So those are things they're going to have to correct going forward, and they understand that.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good question because, as we've seen, Rob, sometimes for the Oilers, sometimes against, a lot of coaches will stress shot quality. They want to limit high danger chances. I mean, we've had Tippett in post-game interviews the last couple of years. Sometimes they'll say, well, we got outshot, but they were, you know, from the hash marks, from the point. But we also know with hockey, sometimes it just goes in. So sometimes the quantity, I mean, Quinn, the Hughes goal the other night, he's throwing it on net, and as Smith said, hey, I didn't pick it up, and it beat me. So yeah, I think that's a fair concern. I also wonder, and we'll see how the league goes this year. You know, but we've talked a lot about the speed of the game picking up, the skill of the game increasing. Obviously, we've talked about a little less fighting. There's more emphasis on skill and all that kind of stuff. I mean, are we entering an era? This is a great big picture topic to bring up at 10 after midnight, Rob.
Oh, we get all the time.
We got all night.
I got nothing going on.
Yeah, we can go till Daryl starts the morning show in about 29 hours. But, I mean, I wonder if we're going to enter an era where high-event hockey is just the norm. More normal. I mean, because we've come out of sort of that dead puck era that was with us in the 90s and early 2000s when a team would take a 2-1 lead to the third period and tackle and give up five shots and maybe one good scoring chance and get an empty netter and win the game. I think maybe that's going to be the norm, that there's over 30 shots on goal by both teams. I don't know.
It might be more the norm in the regular season. I don't believe it'll be the norm when you come to playoffs again, because every year for as long as I've been involved with hockey, there's always been rule changes put in place that allowed the regular season to have high event hockey, lots of chances, let the offensive players do what they do best, and then the first game in the playoff becomes a bloodbath, where you're allowed to tackle and cross-check and do whatever you can to limit opportunities against. So that's why you have to be able to be the defend. You have to be able to be a team that when you have the lead, you can hang on to it. Mm-hmm. So there will be chances, but there's going to be games this year. When the top teams play, I mean, look at the Tampa Bay Lightning. What is it? Vasilevsky, the last five or six series that they closed out, he's had shutouts. So the best teams know how to shut the other team down when they need to win a big game at a big moment. So the Oilers still learning that. And this is early in the season, but I know that Dave Tippett's not going to want to have Mike Smith having to make 36, 45 saves a night for them to get victories. They're going to have to get better defensively, and they will.
Two guys who were excellent offensively tonight, 3 points each, Leon Draisaitl and Jesse Puljujärvi.
Maybe just a thought on your goalie first here, Leon. I think you had 30-some saves last game, another 40-something tonight. Just how good he's been for you.
Yeah, he's been amazing. Obviously, the last couple of years, he's been great for us. So he showed that again tonight. So he's our backbone back there. And so obviously, it gives you a lot of confidence to have him back.
We asked you a few days ago how many...
I knew it was coming. That question had to come, eh? If you watched the replay, though, it was a little fluffy. It came off nice, but it was fluffing.
So you don't think he picked that little lucky?
No. No, it's a nice shot. I'll give him that. Very nice shot. Good for him.
Maybe a thought on, it'll be a little awkward because he's sitting next to you, but, you know, Jesse brings it again, another solid game and a couple of rope.
Yes, me?
No, me. No, I'm asking.
I know. No, I mean, he's getting better every day. Like I said a few days ago, you know, he's started to play against big bodies, skates like the wind, shoots the puck well, and his confidence is coming more and more. So it's fun to be a part of. Fun to play with him.
Thank you.
Anytime, buddy.
Leon, you said earlier in camp here that you thought this was the deepest the team's been. Now that you're watching them come over the board, sort of first line, second line, third line, are you seeing, you know, what are you seeing? Are you seeing anything maybe that you didn't see, have you not seen before?
I have a hard time understanding you, sorry, but can you say that again maybe?
Yeah, sorry. You talked earlier about how there's more depth on this team than there's been before. And now that you've watched the club for a couple of games, and, you know, you've got structure, you got a first line, you got a second line, you got a third line that plays the way a third line plays. What have you seen with this depth, and how's it worked so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think tonight was the perfect example. You have, you know, the power play stepping up, a third line getting a goal. And I think the third period was the perfect example where, you know, we just kind of rolled them over and over, kept it very simple, and if you have depth like that, it gives you different options, and it's hard to beat.
Is that your fan club out there, Jesse?
Yeah, I heard something. Yeah. That's good. That's good. That's nice.
buys it out there.
Jesse, you know, two goals in two games for you. How is the start of the season? How have you felt the start of the season has gone for yourself?
Yeah, I think I am just working, try to work hard, and there are a couple chances go in or out, and I think a couple good shots, and that's it. Yeah.
You enjoy scoring goals, don't you?
Yeah, it's pretty fun now. fans there, the loudest, like, big, and yeah, I have to enjoy. I never know when the fans not there again.
Leon, there was a lot of talk this morning about maybe the temperature kind of dropping in the Battle of Alberta, just, you know, no fans last year, all that type of thing. Did you think we saw kind of the resurgence of it, so to speak, tonight with or everything going on in the first period?
Yeah, I mean, these games are always fun. It's always fun to be a part of, especially against Calgary. Obviously, these guys, the fans, they make it a lot better, a lot more intense. So, yeah, it's great. It's a big win for us. It's nice to go 2-0 to start the season. Obviously, we just have to keep it going.
And did you guys, either one of you, did you see the play with Anderson and Yamamoto? Did you see a headbutt there on his part?
On whose part, sorry?
On Anderson towards Yamamoto.
I don't know. Probably, but whatever.
Did it seem like Anderson was trying to pick on the smallest guy in the league?
Whatever. Doesn't bother Yamo, I can tell you that much.
Okay. Jesse, they didn't seem to like you around the net very much either in the first period.
Kevin. Yeah, I tried to be there. And actually, I did the penalty. I don't know. Was that penalty or no? But yeah, I tried to be there and be strong there. And yeah.
So you didn't think that was a penalty, and the goalie tend to have sold that one a little?
I don't know. Hard to say, but I touched the goaltender, and yeah, I don't know what the rules are like.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Jesse, do you think that Leon or Connor has a better one-timer?
Who has better?
Who has a better one-timer, Leon or Connor?
Say the right thing.
Connor, no. No. I think still Leo have, but Connor is coming. It's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
All right, there we go. Having fun about McDavid's one-timer. He gets three tonight, two on the power play, then into an empty net. Ryan scores. Puljujärvi scores again. 5-2. The Oilers take it over the Flames. They're 2-0. You can get more on 630ched.com or globalnews.ca. Our next game broadcast is Tuesday, 5:30 face-off show. The puck will drop at 7. It's a home game. It's against the Anaheim Ducks. Don't forget, Bob Stauffer has Oilers Now from noon to 2 every weekday, and I'll have Inside Sports from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday night. Big thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer at Rogers Place, and to Angie Quinnell, our studio producer, back at 6:30 Ched. We've been in the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Battle of Alberta, Chapter 1 for this season goes to the Oilers 5-2. Good night.
630 Ched Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Ched.